Okay, what I'm basically talking about today is one smaller paper from a much larger study. The parent study looks at men who use the internet specifically to find other men for unprotected sex. And this particular paper looks at the perceptions of accuracy of what men find when they go online looking at other men's profiles and when they talk to other men about their HIV serostatus. There are no conflicts of interest to report here. The one thing I'd like to mention is that this is a NIDA-funded research project, and my eternal thanks to them for the money, as well as to the few hundred men who took part in the study. By way of some overview, HIV prevention and intervention efforts targeting gay and bisexual men have worked really hard to find ways to enhance partner communication in this population. Particularly as partner communication pertains to HIV testing history and HIV serostatus. The basic idea here is that better partner communication skills hopefully will lead to negotiations for safer sexual behaviors, and that if you know your own HIV serostatus and you know the HIV serostatus of potential sex partners, that you will be able to make more informed decisions about the riskiness of the behaviors in which you choose to engage. There has been mounting evidence in recent years to suggest that increasingly gay and bisexual men have been turning to the internet to find sex partners, and in particular that this is a place that many MSM go when they're looking for high-risk types of sex. That raises profound concerns about the extent to which an open dialogue between sex partners can be replaced by just looking at information that's provided in people's profiles online. In doing this study, one of the things that became obvious quickly from the qualitative part of the data, this is primarily a quantitative study with a qualitative component built in, is that a lot of the men said that they don't even talk to their partners much anymore about HIV testing history and about serostatus. They look at the profiles, they see what information is posted, and just kind of take that as a given and go with that. And that makes some sense when you consider the fact that reading a profile is easy, it's fast, you can do it in the privacy of your own home, of your own computer or laptop, and it's a lot more comfortable than actually discussing sexual safety issues with somebody who you really, at this point in time, don't know. The purpose of the paper I'm giving today is threefold. First of all, to examine how truthful MSM perceive other men's online profiles to be with regard to the information that they contain regarding their HIV serostatus. Secondly, to examine how perceived accuracy of other men's profile information relates to men's HIV risk involvement. And third, to look at the factors that are associated with greater versus lesser perceived accuracy regarding the information that's posted online. As I mentioned before, this was from what we call the Bareback Project. It was a NIDA-funded study with data collection taking place from January 2008 through May of 2009. The target population was a very specific group of MSM, and that is men who use the internet specifically to find other men for unprotected sex. The data collection was done with a randomized procedure using 16 different websites. And the randomization was based on a combination of race or ethnicity as the men stated in their profiles, the first letter or numeral of their username, and the day of recruitment. So each day of the week, each day of the calendar year, and each recruiter had different letters or numbers assigned to him or her that day, and those were used as the basis for doing the randomization. As part of the study, one of the things we wanted to do was to get away from some of the biases that come from just having a local area population. Typically, men were approached by email. We started off doing a combination of instant messaging and email and found out fairly quickly that instant messaging was not the most effective way to reach most of the men. However, during all recruitment periods, we made sure that all of the recruiters had their instant messaging turned on at least two of three main services, either AIM for those who were AOL users, Yahoo Messenger, or MSN Messenger. Because even though it wasn't a good way to approach somebody, it turned out to be a very effective way to make sure that people had access to us if they had quick questions once they received the email invitation to participate in the study. We actually did these interviews by telephone, even though the recruitment was done from the internet. We felt that the phone interviews gave men a chance to speak to us, to have a human being to talk to establish some rapport, to ask direct questions. And the guys were not shy about the kinds of things they asked. The average interview lasted a little less than an hour and a half, and men were paid $35 for their time. In total, 332 men participated in the study. A little bit of information about the sample. The mean and median age are almost exactly the same, about 40 in their early to mid-40s. Men ranged in age from 18 to 72. There's a good representation of men based on race. Most of the men, the large majority, self-identified as gay. Almost all the rest self-identified as bisexual. This is, as is typical for most of the MSM studies that I see in the literature, it is a fairly well-educated sample. And more than half of the men in this study self-reported as HIV positive. That percentage is very large, but when you consider the population, when you consider we're looking at men who are using the internet specifically in search of unprotected sex, it's not all that surprising. The conceptual model for this is based on syndemics theory. Basically, if you look off to the right in yellow, that's any of the main outcome measures, and everything in the center and on the left are looked at as the different types of predictors that are thought to interact with one another and to have both direct and indirect types of effects on risk-taking. So we have a variety of demographic characteristics, age, race, education, and so forth. Childhood maltreatment experiences, we have separate information for sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, physical neglect, and emotional neglect. Safety and risk-related attitudes deals with a variety of things like condom-related attitudes, condom use self-efficacy, as well as a variety of measures that look at men's preferences regarding the types of sex and how they like to have sex. Do you like sex that is wild? Do you like sex that is long-lasting? Do you like sex in public? Do you like anonymous sex? Things like that. Psychological functioning deals with things like self-esteem, depression, HIV-related burnout, and the like. Abuse and dependency factors deals not only with substance use and substance abuse, both legal and illegal drugs, but also deals with internet and how much time men spent looking for sex partners online. The main measure of interest in this for this particular presentation was a question that read, when you meet someone from the internet, how confident are you in the accuracy of the information he provides to you about his HIV status when you talk with him about it? And in a separate question, we also asked, when you meet someone from the internet, how confident are you in the accuracy of the information his profile contains about his HIV status? And it was, people could answer on a 5-point ordinal response scale, as you can see on the bottom, ranging from not at all confident to very confident in the information provided, either online or in conversation. So when you're talking with the men about what their perceptions are, let's start with the measure that looks at the confidence and the accuracy of the HIV information when they discuss it, when they actually have dialogue with the men. About 45% of the men felt fairly or very confident that they were given accurate information. And as you can see from the bottom, on balance, men were more trusting than not by about a 2-to-1 ratio when it came to information provided to them during discussions with potential sex partners. When they chose to have a discussion about it, when they broached the subject, more often than not, they actually believed what they were told. That's not really the case when it comes to relying on the information that was provided just in the profiles alone. For the men who actually relied on the profiles rather than through dialogue, as you can see here, about 38% of the men said that they were not at all confident or not very confident in the HIV-related information they were provided, compared to about 1/4 of the men who said that they felt fairly or very confident. Now still, although those are big differences between the amount of trust the men have when it comes to the information they're getting verbally versus visually, it still means that you're finding more than 1/4 of the men believed what they read online. If we look at an outcome measure that looks at the percentage of sex acts that were protected, this is based on a multivariate analysis, you can see, I put it in red at the bottom, that perceived accuracy of HIV information is indirectly related. It is one of the significant multivariate predictors. So in this case, the more accurately or the more confidence they had in the information they were seeing with regard to HIV serostatus online, the lower the percentage of sex acts that were protected. If they believe what they read, they're more likely to have unsafe sex with the med. Looking at the factors that are associated with the perceived accuracy of the information itself, we find that Caucasian men were more likely to perceive the information to be accurate. The more bottom-oriented a man was in terms of his sexual role identity, the more likely he was to perceive accuracy. The greater the amount of emotional abuse during the childhood and adolescent years, that was also associated with a greater perceived accuracy of the information, as was being a polydrug abuser and living in a dense urban area. So all of this was subjected to structural equation modeling, and I'll show the actual model itself in a minute. But just to give you some quick parameters, the overall goodness of fit for this is met very well. When we do structural equation, we look for an overall model chi-square that is non-significant. It was. We look for a low RMSEA. It was. We look for a normed fit index to be fairly high, and it was. So the model shown that I have here fits very well. There's a lot to look at there, but I put the main measure of interest in red to draw your attention to it. Perceived accuracy of HIV information is one of the direct, and in this case, inverse predictors of protected sex. It is also one of the main predictors of attitudes towards condom use, which in this study was one of the most powerful predictors of risk-taking. So it has its effects both directly and indirectly. Directly in terms of have the more accurately men perceived the HIV information to be, the greater their likelihood in engaging in unprotected sex. And in addition, that perceived accuracy also had an impact on their condom attitudes, which in turn were directly related to the extent to which they did or did not engage in protected sex. As you can see on the left, were the red arrows, race, population density, top versus bottom, polydrug abuse, and emotional abuse are the main predictors of the extent to which men perceived accurately the HIV information on the profiles. So, conclusions. First of all, although they seem to treat HIV-related information that's provided by potential partners online with some skepticism, not inconsequential proportions of MSM who are looking for unprotected sex online believe what they read in the online profiles that they consult. And they believe, again, fairly large percentages believe what they hear in discussion with these new partners when it comes to HIV serostatus. Interventionists working with this population need to address trust and honesty issues if they want to try to combat HIV. And they need to work with MSM to have them deal with this type of information with a little more skepticism and to develop actual, better, stronger partner communication skills that hopefully will keep them safer and healthier for as long as possible. The more confidence that men have in the online information that they read and or in the HIV-related discussions that they have with new sex partners, the more likely they are to engage in risky practices. Talking with their partners is a good thing. You don't ever want to be discouraging that. But at the same time, helping men to develop better screening techniques for these partners and teaching them to find better ways to delay their sexual involvement until they know these partners may turn out to be very necessary and important ways to keep HIV transmission rates down in members of this very high-risk population. The perceived accuracy of HIV-related information, based on the profiles and the discussions, was directly, as I mentioned before, related not only to risk but also to condom-related attitudes. And thus the effects are multiplied here. You have the impact that it has directly, as well as the effect that these perceptions have indirectly. As it turns out, this measure, this confidence in HIV-related information, turns out to be one of the most powerful measures we have in this study. It turns out to be related in a wide variety of ways, and multivariate analysis out for different measures turns out to be one of the best measures we have. And to keep it on time, keep it on time, I'll end there before I break your ears.